Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to Episode 127.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Karo, the number one Shopify app for influencer marketing. Karo is a Shopify app that discovers all the influencers who are your brand's customers, email subscribers, and fans. Now imagine an influencer with a million followers was to make a purchase from your Shopify store. Would you know about it? Karo makes sure that you do. And unlike other influencer platforms, Karo is built for trust and transparency. And they help you find influencers that are genuinely interested in your brand so that you're not scrolling through countless social accounts just to find the right partners. Let Karo do the heavy lifting and find influencers that are best for your brand. And Karo also helps you execute your influencer marketing every step of the way. They make communication and product distribution easy so you can pick the right influencers and create meaningful partnerships. And right now, Karo is free for all Shopify stores. So why not try it out and see who you find? Now, after you install the app, Karo will alert you whenever a new influencer engages with your brand so that you can communicate and continue to build your list of influencers over time. To get started, you can visit getkaro.com or you can search for Karo in the Shopify App Store. That's C-A-R-R-O and discover which influencers already love your brand.
Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast player through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest in today's episode is Sahil Gupta, who's the CEO from Space, that's spelled S-P-A-S-E, and they're a technology company that really is leading and innovating the way for e-commerce brands to help create engaging 3D models for products. I'm sure you've seen this. Apple's been talking about it. Shopify's been talking about it. There are some very progressive brands that have made the decision to have a 3D rendered image available for more engagement to really have a look at the product and really helps with conversion. So we're going to dig into a lot of things around the acronyms around 3D, virtual reality. Oh, there's so much to talk about. So let's welcome Sahil to the show.
Hi, Steve. Great to meet you and thanks for having me.
So let's talk first on a high level about what Space actually does and why you built the company and I guess the sort of problems that that you believe that your platform is now solving for Shopify store owners.
I started Space in 2019 with the goal of solving this problem that merchants had, which was they wanted to sell in 3D and AR and VR, but didn't know how to digitize their products. They didn't know how to turn photos of their product into a model that they could host on their website and share with their customers. So that was an opportunity that I saw where somebody had to be responsible and somebody had to build a system that could create models that were both beautiful, photorealistic. I guess those are two things, but if I could another, so that were also lightweight and that just plain worked. So I started Space to turn photos into models, and we found a lot of opportunity with Shopify. Shopify made a big part of their initiatives in 2019 to move the 3D program forward. And while they were supporting the viewer aspect, which means that if you had a store, you could host your models, the question still remained, who would make the models? So That's why I really started Space, to make models.
Yeah, I love it. I remember watching the live stream at Shopify Unite, which is the partner conference. And I know that was one of the, big announcements that they were talking about. Like, where does the data go? How do you produce them? Why is Shopify getting involved with 3D and AR and VR, which we'll talk about in a second? Why is that? And I also remember Tim Cook even showing up to the office. And, you know, there was quite a bit of fanfare from Apple when he showed up. And just, you know, some kind of partnerships and things that were starting to develop between what Apple was working on and what Shopify was working on. It was an interesting synergies that started to happen. And so I see how you're positioning yourself now into a market that is starting to expand and grow. So it's really exciting. So let's maybe unpack that a bit and just talk about your background, because it really does fascinate me about, you know, why people kind of build what they build. So are you able to talk about maybe what positions you, I guess, number one, to have the desire, and number two, maybe to have the expertise to even want to create this platform?
A lot of things had to happen to get to the date where I decided to start Space. And I think some of those things were an interest in what's happening in technology and the ability to think about what could work and what can't work. You have to have a very big filter for what can't work, and also the opportunity sort of really within sight. So for each of those things, with, you know, what's happening in technology, what I saw before I started Space was a big move and a big focus towards 3D, whether that was in AR or VR or in on the software side and also on the hardware side, with Oculus coming out, with every new generation of iPhone and Android supporting AR, and with some really cool web frameworks like A-Frame and Mozilla Hubs gaining traction, where websites were becoming 3D. So that was something that was happening. And then in the context of that, I was thinking, what could I do that would be both, you know, cool and useful? And I saw, this goes to the third point as to, you know, you have to see something on the horizon that is actually, you know, real. And that was Shopify's announcement that they're going to turn on the 3D viewer for their million merchants. And there's a missing piece there. And the missing piece is, all right, somebody has to make the models. And everything just came together at that point in time. I knew I could do it. I knew I could find really great people. And I knew I'd like working with those people. And then the second point was, yeah, the ability to filter out things that won't work. You really have to take the state of mind that the other folks in the tech industry are, they're not stupid, they're very smart, but they are focused on the software side of things, whether that's, you know, the HoloLens team at Microsoft or the people at Mozilla Hubs or the people at Google doing, let's say, AR streaming. That's going to happen. Or people that have built video game engines. They're at the peak of their field. It's very hard to do anything to contribute to that, just working, starting from zero. Whereas what was possible was trying to create a team of really great people who could make really great models and be this wedge in this, you know, 3D sort of evolution of things, which is in the creation of models. That was a hairball of ideas, but let's go deeper in any one of them if you'd like.
Absolutely. Well, maybe we'll talk about some of the acronyms, because there's quite a few of them, maybe some of the things you've even just mentioned that some people don't even know about. And I think that's part of the education process of today's show, is just understanding the industry and then trying to figure out how they can innovate and be involved in that industry, potentially even working with your company to get these models created. So let's talk about 3D first. I mean, I'd argue maybe some people listening today, I think they have a cursory knowledge of what 3D is, but, you know, some people may think it's just like a series of photos taken on a lazy Susan, kind of all stitched together. But let's, from your perspective, because I know you have a definitive answer about, like, what is 3D and what's a 3D model as it relates to your company and or Shopify brands that want to get involved in 3D?
Sure. I'd say a 3D model is a file that represents the surface of an object. This is just one definition of many, but in the context of e-commerce, this is, I think, the best way to think about it. It's a file, just like a JPEG or a .doc. In this case, it's a .glb. You know, you can nicely, you know, save it in your Dropbox or Windows Explorer. It's just a file. And when loaded in a renderer, it looks like the object. So the file represents the surface of the object. And the way it does that is through the surface geometry and then also the surface materials. And going deeper into the geometry, it's an array of triangles. And going on to the texture side, it's a series of JPEGs themselves. So it's like the JPEGs are wrapped around the triangles, like you were painting on stone or like you're wrapping a globe in a map projection. And that's the simplest way I can describe the GLB file. And that same file works in AR software kits, which means that AR will work with the exact same file. And that's the other piece of the puzzle that I found so, you know, just so wonderful, that you can put a lot of effort into getting the .glb right, and that same file will work in 3D on laptops, on phones, on VR headsets. So when people move their Shopify stores into VR, which is definitely going to happen, you're going to have your .com. You know, if your store is like, you know, EmpireStateBoots.com, that's your store, and you'll have it in VR, and the actual products will be these 3D files. And then you'll have your visitors walk through the store with their Oculus headset on, and that'll just be a really cool future. It's like thinking about your store like a video game. And what I hope Space will, you know, think about after we do a really great job at making models, the creation of models very stable and very accurate, then we can look at the concept of multiplayer shopping. And that'll be a little bit later, but that's just what's on my mind.
Very cool. So let's unpack two more acronyms that I think are floating around. A few you mentioned already about AR and VR. I mean, I'm sure those listings, they augmented reality and virtual reality. On a surface, to the layperson who just has a cursory knowledge of it, it seems kind of like the same thing, but I understand that's not the case. Are you able to maybe give your definition of what augmented reality actually is and its practical uses today as it relates to a commerce brand, then how VR is similar but different?
Sure. I think the definitions keep changing, which is a good thing. Right now, AR to me is you're looking through the screen, and VR is you're looking at the screen. Another division I see happening is the difference between, you know, like work and play. So when you're, you know, so to speak, working, you might want to work in VR because it's totally immersed. You know, you'll have your, you know, 10 monitors sort of in VR and you'd be totally plugged in to what you're doing. And then there's AR, which is, you know, let's say that's the play side. So it's like, you know, you're going on a hike, you're maybe driving, you know, you're outdoors and there's information superimposed on your line of sight. And in the context of e-commerce, both are going to be very important. What's important now, because it's just working, and it's because, you know, the hard facts of proof by existence of the customers that we've worked with are selling in AR, it's that you take your products, you'll digitize them into a .glb, and your customers can view them in AR on their phones.
So it means that now they're using their camera, because I think I've seen some demos here where I saw one with a lamp or some furniture and things, some like more hard goods. And I thought it was quite interesting to see how is this going to look in my particular example, in my particular room, and grabbing the product and then using the camera to show your space, but then having this item superimposed and all rendered correctly in the right angles and lighting. It really is quite impressive. And then people see it and going, yeah, I like how that lamp looks there in my house. I'm going to take it. So I love that part.
Isn't there like an Ariana Grande song, something about like, you know, you see it, you want it, you got it. That's basically what this is. You know, you see it and then you buy it.
How light, love it. So don't take this question incorrectly. I know this is your field of expertise and stuff like that, but let's talk about why does all of this matter? Because it seems very exciting. It seems a little bit science fiction. It seems like extra progressive, these .glb files you're talking about. It's very exciting. It's not widely adopted yet, but progressive brands are seeing amazing success. I've looked at them kind of pre-recording today, so I know who's using it and why. So it's interesting. I want to make sure we share that in this episode today. But like, why does all of this matter? And why is 3D and kind of augmented reality like important today for commerce brands?
The more, you know, on the ground reason is that it doubles customer engagement. And I'm new to e-commerce, but I've never seen that kind of return on investment. Digitizing your product leads to a doubling of customer engagement. And then the other reason is just that they look so cool. You know, you can spin them around, you can, you know, zoom in, you can place them on your desk. Those are the softer reasons, but they're the reasons that, you know, keep me going. And it also saves on product photography. So instead of spending thousands of dollars for a professional photo shoot, once you have your digitized model, because it's photorealistic, that model can be used as the model for digital photographs. So in a tool like Adobe Dimension or a tool like even the web-based version of Google's Model Viewer, you can render photo shoots of your digital model for free.
That was kind of my next question. I'm just thinking now is about the whole process for a merchant. There's tens of thousands of people listening to this episode today, and you know they may see value, hopefully by the end of this show, to say, hey, you know what? I want to be progressive brand. I want to try this out because I believe this is interesting. And so let's talk about the process that a merchant has to go through to actually create 3D models, you know, with the space tool.
The shortest process would be sending us a link to your product page. We would then extract all the information from that product page, including the photos and the dimensions, and we'd make the model just from a product link. If your product is, you know, in production or in, you know, those earlier phases and there's no complete link, then just sending photographs around the product, like 5 to 6 photos around the product, will be all the necessary input for the creation of a model.
That's super cool. So link to the product details page or 5 or 6 photos, and then from there, your technology will then import all that information, and as you said, triangulate it all and organize it all and then create a 3D model out of it.
Right. And there's more than technology. There's also people. And you know, it's a very particular set of skills to be able to make these models. I think that there'll be a new concept coming into play, which is, you know, right now you might call them 3D artists, but it's really a form of engineering. And I think it's going to be called meshware engineering. I could be wrong, but that's how I think about it, because the kind of intelligence to make models by visualizing it in your head and then actually creating it into a scene editor is a very different type of skill set from writing software or from any other trade. I think that's another reason why this is so important, not just from the fact that it doubles customer engagement or that the models are just, you know, so cool to look at. It's the fact that there's a whole new way of thinking about what you see. And that's really the three-dimensional, you know, way of seeing things. I also think that this is a way for people to, this is a weird way to say it, but to keep busy, you know, to be working. Even in a future where a lot of work is automated, making 3D models, it can be work. And it's the same skill set that's the reason that, you know, we have special effects in movies, in television, the reason we have environments in video games, and now that's coming to e-commerce.
Yeah, it seems like a natural progression. You're right about when you look at a lot of the games that are out in 3D and all the special effects and things that are happening, and this just computer to the virtual reality is quite interesting. So let's talk about the industries, because when I look around the web, even a lot of the, you know, popular Shopify stores, it appears on the surface, and I think I don't have the inside view of, you know, your list of clients and customers that, you know, that make the choice to use your tool. But on the surface, I'd call them the usual suspects in certain industries that I think have widely adopted the use of 3D models, like things in fashion, home, and maybe even a lot of furniture companies, because they're physical hard goods and they appear to be rendered well and they look good in virtual reality, setting the lamp or the picture or whatever, the furniture, moving it around. And it's interesting. And so from your perspective, do you see all product verticals being adopted, or are there only certain ones at this point that can offer the most value?
I do see it happening across all product verticals. It'll definitely get started most easily in hard surface goods, the kinds of goods where, you know, if you drop it, it keeps its shape. So that could be furniture, that could be hardware parts, car parts, that could be computers and electronics, it could be iPhone cases, anything that really keeps its shape. Where there's still work to be done is in fashion. And the real question is, how is that going to be humanized? Are we going to be having, you know, animated, you know, alive looking, you know, fashion on avatars, or will it be on mannequins? It's definitely, you know, hard surface goods. And then in terms of industries, it's not just e-commerce, but growing in retail, in marketing, in advertising. If you take a look at Google Swirl, that's their 3D ad initiative. And it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see that once advertising gets a hold of 3D and AR, once that goes mainstream, there'll be no shortage of demand for 3D content.
So I understand those verticals now, and it seems to be those are the ones that I see the most: hard goods, seem to be, as you said, if you can drop it, it doesn't break, or the, you know, the outside edges don't collapse. And so I totally get that part, and that completely makes sense. But now let's talk about the browsers themselves, because I understand that there are ways, I guess, to render some things, at least in browsers, or at least in AR, like right from within a browser. So why would someone listening today want to generate a 3D model from product photos if it can already be rendered in real time in a browser?
There's still a lot of visual interest to be created in really great looking photos. And the ability to take a model and put it inside a virtual set and then render that photograph can be just as visually compelling as a live rendered model. So for that reason, you know, it is possible to go from photos to model to photos. The process of making the model is almost in a sense like up-resing the information in the photo, which you can then render out in a scene. If your listeners have experience with Adobe Dimension, just experimenting with it will make it very clear. It's just visually amazing to see a model rendered out in a digital environment with total control over lighting.
Let's dig into some merchant stories. I've read a bunch. I'm going to put links in the show notes of Shopify's produced quite a bit of content of brands that have been progressive enough to want to try this. And then, as you said, double the engagement and conversions significantly increases. So do you have any merchant stories that you can kind of publicly talk about maybe around 3D or AR and like how it's impacted sales or just, you know, brand affinity? I just would love to understand some of the outcomes that you've seen so far.
The cool thing is that we've seen orders across almost every industry that if you, for example, go through a drop-down menu on like Amazon or Home Depot, every product category we've gotten probably an order from. And that includes diamond rings, racing bikes, coffee machines, men's underwear, and face masks. What was interesting is to see the timing of the first order of a face mask and what was happening in the world at the time with the knowledge of the virus spreading. Also, soft drink packages. And the most interesting thing to me about soft drink packaging in 3D is that, I mean, at the end of the day, it's sugar and water, but it's like marketed with, you know, great labels. And then it's gone one level higher with the 3D model of the labels of the sugar water. And to me, that's just so funny. We've gotten handbags. We've gotten dog kennel cages. They had some really exciting results in just the initial week that they launched their 3D model. And Shopify has a really great story page on that. I'll have to send you that link. We've gotten furniture. We've gotten faucets. We've gotten Bluetooth speakers. Now that they're coming in all shapes and sizes, there's a big explosion there. Electric scooters, ventilators, playground equipment, camping cookers, vape pens. That's, you know, that's on the menu still.
It really does seem endless, the amount of people that have adopted it. And as far as any hard results, is there anything that stands out for you?
We have the percentages of increases of engagement coming from Shopify, and I'd probably point you to those. We don't yet track actual metrics on our customers' websites because we don't put any tracking scripts, though we might offer that if customers are looking for that.
Yeah, it's an interesting way because that's the thing, the investment in it, other than the cool factor that we talked about and double the engagement, which I think is enough and on its own to want to adopt this sort of technology. But then sometimes the C-suite looks at it and says, okay, well, there's X number of investment and we're rotating our product seasonally. And so it's not like kind of a one and done kind of situation. Some brands, yes, but a lot of brands, there's some seasonality around their products or new versions. And so having to get a new link sent to you and or 5 or 6 photos sent to you, there's certain investment that goes along with all of that. And then, so that's for the product details page, but then how do we deal with social ads? How do we implement a lot of this technology now as part of a top of funnel kind of acquisition strategy, or even a conversion strategy for those that have looked at it and maybe didn't even realize there was a 3D version available. And then that's their re-engagement sequence, you know, to get people to convert.
That's a totally fair concern. And it might be a misconception that there's a big capital outlay required in order to have 3D models. But from the pure cost saving perspective, the price of a model might average $100. The price of a photo shoot per product might average $5,000. So just from the saving on the product photo shoot, it makes, you know, 5,000 divided by 100, you know, cents. Whereas in the case on the positive side, from the increase in sales, that's its own argument.
There's many people that have a certain vertical of product, so they're the manufacturer of it, but they've also decided to expand their product mix into other verticals. And these are non-competitive but complementary products. It's new-ish now, more people adopting it, just to expand. I know Steve Madden has been doing this recently, focusing on shoes, but then choosing to get involved in handbags and other accessories that are not Steve Madden branded at all. And so I think that's interesting. And there's lots of case studies out there about almost creating a mini marketplace of other complementary brands that are in alignment to kind of what you're all about. And so my thought is that if someone listening today is selling other people's products, maybe in a dropship kind of environment, and they're willing to make the small investment to have 3D models created, is there any rights management challenges that could happen where you have the rights, let's say, I'll use an example on your website, for example, you have a biking helmet that you use as one of your examples. And so the manufacturer has created that 3D model, but let's suppose you decide to sell, maybe, you know, your bike helmets are us and that's what you, and it's all you sell, but you're able to grab some 3D models from some of the suppliers of these helmets, but there may be a few that just quite aren't into it yet or haven't made the investment yet, but you choose to want to do that. Do you see any challenges of getting the 5 or 6 product photos that you've been legally able to get because you're a licensed partner to sell their product? Could be drop ship. Maybe you're buying in wholesale and you're fulfilling it, either or. Do you see any challenges at all about having 3D models created where you didn't photograph the product, but you have rights to sell it?
That's an interesting question. And I'm going to bet that that'll be a Supreme Court question in 10 years. But for the present day, I'd say that is a question between the dropshipper and their manufacturer. Does the dropshipper have permission to even market what they're ordering from the manufacturer, whether that's Oberlo or a similar company? And if they have the rights to market that, they have the rights to market in 3D, I would say. I might be missing something, but I think that's pretty much, you know, what sums it up, because it's a surface representation of the product.
And at the end of the day, I mean, you're just trying to sell more. And I think at the end of the day, you know, it's going to add double the engagement, and the conversion lift is definitely going to be there because of the engagement level and the uniqueness of it. And that will differentiate you, those listening today, that if you don't have 3D models of your product and you're drop shipping, this is an interesting opportunity to try a couple of products and see what happens. So I think it's quite interesting. So let's pivot a bit over to, I guess, the future of space and, you know, what your North Star is, I guess, for 21 and beyond. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic right now. Commerce is massively growing. And, you know, I just love to understand how your platform is going to continue to iterate over time, like any partner alignment or innovation. I just like to get the warm and fuzzies about, like, how you're going to continue to, I guess, offer value and assistance as it relates to 3D models for Shopify brands.
I think the thing that won't change over time is that we'll be making models from photos. We'll only get better at that. And one way we're going to make a big step forward in that is just really shaving down the time it takes to make a model from even less input. There's some very cool work being done by researchers on neural scene representation. And without giving away too much, that's the holy grail. But I don't think it's ever going to be a case where it'll be purely automated. There will always be a human in the loop, so to speak. And that's why models will look just right. With the artists that I work with, there are much higher concepts at play in the creation of a model, whether that's the silhouette or whether that's the noise level in a texture. These are all things that differentiate a AAA game from something run-of-the-mill. What else is on the horizon? I see that there are other interesting companies in this industry focusing on the idea of an AR store, which means that you'll walk around, say, your apartment with your phone, and it's superimposing a store, you know, with shelves of products, you know, against your wall or in an open space. And that kind of store setup depends on 3D models in order to be able to merchandise what you're selling.
I watched a YouTube video recently where someone was walking through a virtual mall. You know, you'd step up to the mall and then you would actually go in, or you'd step up to a store and the person was pivoting around. So it was a kind of virtual reality world, but it was made into a fashion mall. And then you went into a store and potentially you were greeted by live avatars of people that belonged to that store. Like almost like instead of live chat on your website, you happen to be in the store, the virtual reality store, through some kind of a tool of some sort, or some kind of virtual reality world, and then you're able to chat or talk, and you're able to show some 3D models and products, and then, you know, even links out to buying the product. So it's really, yeah, I think there's some interesting innovation that's happening right now as far as, like, how do we engage people from the digital side of things? And it looks like the starting point is just to get more people to adopt the fact that 3D models are here to stay. And I think it dips your toe in the pool, so to speak, about, well, getting involved in this and doubling your engagement opens up other opportunities in the future for augmented reality as it relates to your products, and then just in other opportunities just as technology keeps advancing.
With your exposure to the Shopify world, if that's something that you see, that's a very good sign. That means it's approaching soon. And this is the part of a bigger transition with Shopify was partly responsible for, but it's the transition to the visual economy. And the way Shopify really was responsible for that was for the highlighting the importance of really great photography online. And those product photographs would get shared and reshared all the way through social media and through that information stream. And now we're leveling up. We're going into 3D. We're going with representing the surface of a product, and that being more important than other qualities, where the reason somebody will buy a product is really because how it looks, and how it looks in the highest possible sense, the amount of information that's encoded on the surface of it. And the reason I think that's taking place is because the generation of people coming up have a much higher visual literacy, whether that's in the context of shooting short videos or playing video games. It's about video. And once video becomes the common layer of understanding, then it's like, okay, what's next? It's going to be inside the video. It's going to be the 3D content that gets rendered out in which you've been seeing video.
Exciting times we're living in right now. I always make that comment to my team when I'm chatting with them each week. Just what a time to be alive right now, just as technology continues to advance. It's an amazing time to be involved in e-commerce. With the unfortunate things that have happened with the pandemic right now, and just how e-commerce adoption has been widely circulated over the last 6 months about the fact that the last 6 months or more has really accelerated e-commerce adoption by 10 years. And, you know, there was upwards of 30% of total goods and services were bought online, where prior to that, it was less than 15%. And so I'm not sure if that's here to stay. I don't believe retail is dead, but it's interesting to see that there's some opportunity out there with 3D models. So we are nearing the end of the show for today. And I know we could probably talk a lot about this because it really is an exciting, interesting opportunity for those, because I know a lot of people are not doing 3D models right now. And I think today hopefully is an awakening that this is widely adopted by your peers in your vertical. And so if you actually were to look around and see, it's very affordable and it can be done with your platform. So do you have any closing comments or any kind of takeaways? You know, those listening today, they understand what a 3D model is. They understand AR and VR and the engagement lift. A lot of those things you've shared quite well. What do you want to leave today with? How do you want to leave this podcast episode in the hands of the listeners today?
Definitely a thank you to Shopify and specifically Toby for making this possible. In fact, one of our most recent customers came to us because of a recommendation from Toby, and that means a lot.
So how can people learn more about Space and your platform, even potentially take it for a spin? I understand that you would like to, I guess, share an offer for those listening in today.
Definitely check out space.io. This is the sort of thing where you have to see it to believe it. And once you see the 3D model in all its detail, that'll do most of the explaining. We have a new program in place for, you know, basically a digital code coupon system. And for Fastlane listeners, if you enter Fastlane at checkout, you'll get 10% off your first order.
Based on this episode, I think that's the thing, is like, I appreciate that discount. I also believe that, you know, you have to push yourself over the edge. So if you're listening today and you see that there's opportunity here in having a 3D model, and you understand the benefits, and you at least want to test it. I mean, it's a life of experimentation. That's what e-commerce is all about. And let's be innovators. Sahil's been you know, very progressive and want to be involved in this industry. And obviously he's got the right engineering group behind it and is nonstop iterating on the product. So thank you, number one, for coming on the show today. I really massively appreciate it. Thank you for this offer. I think it's just, it's very clear that, you know, you really are in tight alignment with really wanting to help Shopify brands to, you know, grow their revenue and build their lifetime loyalty. And part of it is just having more engagement on the product pages and through social ads and whatnot. So I really appreciate that. I know everybody's busy, and I just thank you for taking time and sharing your knowledge and your vision and just giving back to the Shopify ecosystem.
Thank you, Steve. And if I could add one just final thought, it's that for every merchant or every Shopify business that invests in 3D models, what they're doing is not only working on their own store, but they're jumpstarting the AR and VR revolution, because it's the content creation, the lack of it, that's been holding it back. And once that's jumpstarted, what was started in 2020 with the rise of 3D and AR and VR, it's only going to grow even faster.
Well, once again, Sahil, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Steve.
This episode is supported by Caro, an incredible Shopify app that discovers all the influencers, press, and media that already love your brand. They can be customers, email subscribers, or fans, and Caro will reveal the social footprint and influence of those that have already shown you some love. And from there, Caro makes it easy to work with influencers, communicate, and distribute products to them so you can pick the right influencers and create meaningful partnerships. To get started, you can visit getcaro.com or search for Caro in the Shopify App Store, that's C-A-R-R-O, and discover which influencers already love your brand. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.